O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So the title of the sermon is Time Full of Life. Speaking of time, I told my kids, some of you were there just this was a couple days ago. We had five services in a 24-hour span, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. On Christmas Day, I preached. My kids wanted a 10-minute sermon. How long was it, Drew? You listened. You told me you listened. Do you remember, Ollie? Yeah, it was like 20 minutes or so. So maybe some of you do keep track on your watch. I don't know. Today may be shorter. Time full of life. It is about time, but I can be very sensitive to time. I will tell you, my family knows this. I'm a very impatient person when it comes to certain things. Hey, mute this microphone over here, right? They'll just rip it off the thing. Impatient in many things. But big picture, Andrew, you were saying the other day, I can tend to be pretty patient when it comes to certain things. You just probably don't want me standing over your shoulder for things, important things here and now, like getting out the door. I can get so frustrated and impatient with time. This was actually a photo taken of me yesterday. That's how I felt. We had to get up to Fort Wayne and then Kendallville and then back, and I still, this is why I can't tell you how long the sermon's going to be. I didn't have time to work on my sermon, so I'm working on it now. And by 8 o'clock last night, this is what my family, I think maybe what I look like. And boy, the dogs, I know they saw this because they were trying to get into the office at home, and I was yelling at them to leave me alone. And as I reflected on it this morning, I think that's what I wanted to say to everybody for about the past 36 hours. But here we are, and hopefully my countenance has improved. But you know, who is this guy? Scrooge, yeah. Rick Reed portrayed in a Actors Theater up here a couple years ago, Ebenezer Scrooge. He's probably not the sort of guy you want to spend a lot of time around. He's maybe impatient. He is gloomy, joyless, not having a lot of joy in life, and as he takes account of time, probably doesn't appreciate any of it. And so I want you to keep that in mind as we look at the verses which are the basis of the sermon this morning. A short portion of the scripture. I'm going to back up one verse, if you got time, to Galatians 4, verse 3. Because St. Paul talks about this change in reality and outlook on life. And he says at Galatians 4, verse 3, he says, "This is what we were. In the same way, we also, when we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world." It was simply about bean counting and quantity and just this is it. And if it adds up, that's good. And if it doesn't, it falls short. And that's what it is. But then, and this happens quite often, especially in the epistles, what is that word called in the middle of a sentence? A conjunction. That's what I wanted to say. Yeah. The conjunction "but" states something that is different in nature. So he says, so this is what you were. You were children. You were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. You were maybe like an Ebenezer Scrooge. But then he said, whoa, what happened here? We got this crazy clicking going on again. I'm impatient even with this clicker. And I know it's not your fault, Piper. I want to blame somebody. Back to verse 4. But, so here's the change. But when the fullness of time had come at just the right time, God wastes nothing. He uses all things. God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. And what's the name of his son? Jesus. Amen. Yeah, you all, this is the place. It's all about Jesus, whose name means the Lord saves. And there's a painting I used a couple years ago called the Emmanuel Altarpiece by the artist Edward Rioas. And you see this one who was sent forth, the Son of God. And he is, he willingly comes from the right hand of the Father and puts himself into human flesh. He puts himself under the constraints of time. See, God is outside of time. Time is a part of creation. It's a function of the earth rotating on its axis. That's a 24-hour period. That's one day. And it revolves around the sun. That's one year. And there are seasons. And so time is a part of creation, but God is outside of time. But he willingly puts himself not only under the constraints of time and the constraints of a human body, but also puts himself under the constraints of the law, his own law. And he does it in a way that is different than you and me. He does it willingly, but he fulfills all things perfectly. And ultimately, he comes in a way, and I was thinking about this last night. Good thing I have my notes here. He comes in a way, and there are some people who say, well, look, this is good for thee, but not for me. Maybe you have, maybe you know of some of these people. Maybe you live with them, but I'm talking, it's easy to find them if you look out on the internet, especially in a political sense. You know, some people say, well, you ought to stay home for the holidays, and then we find out that they went and traveled out of town and had a bunch of people in their house. You see, that's not cool. So you're saying that I should do this, but you're outside of that? Well, Jesus is the opposite of that. He says, I will come for you, and I will take on human flesh, and I will be constrained by a body, constrained by time, constrained by the law of God, and I will keep it all. He keeps it better than us. He keeps his word. And he came in order to redeem, to save, to buy back, to rescue those who were under the law. That's you and me. Those who are under time, constrained by time, out of time, not enough time, in a time crunch, impatient, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And I chose this. This is pretty common. I don't know who this artist, you can see that whoever this is. I don't know who the artist is. It's the baby Jesus, the infant Jesus. And I chose this for a particular reason. And I've got a couple more to show you. Maybe look at these and see if you see something in common with all these. You see it? What do you think? Read my mind. What are you seeing here? Yeah, he's got his arms out. Because he loves you? He wants a hug? Well, maybe. Why does he have his hands out? The cross, yeah. So the artists show this cruciform. In fact, this one looks like almost, if you look at it really closely, I'm not so sure that it doesn't even have the hint of nail marks in his hands here. Could just be the glaze or dust, but this is often the way. And I don't speak French, but I think this says La Crèche, means like the nativity scene. La Croix, I think that is the cross. Le Eucharisti. Or whatever, Eucharisti. I think that's the Eucharist, the sacrament of the altar. You see it all there. I grew up in Fort Wayne. I didn't speak French in Fort Wayne. But this one, this Jesus has come to redeem, to save in a very specific way. He puts himself under time, under the law. Ultimately puts himself under a curse that he does not deserve in order to save. To redeem. To purchase and win you and me, not with silver or gold, but with, and some of us remember our memory work, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. And because you are sons, everything has changed. God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts crying, Abba, Father. People, I know what you're thinking. I didn't say Abba because I didn't want to get songs stuck in your head. And now I just did it. But it's Abba, Father, Daddy. This term of endearment. My kids call me Father, don't they? Father. You call me anything, now you're just asleep, waiting for the sermon to end. Abba, Father, this connection. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, than an heir through God. See, Paul says that everything has changed. Reality has changed, and it's because of Jesus, the one who has come to set you free, the one that has come into your life where there is not enough time or time is not being spent. And look, for me, it's like, well, this is not how I would choose to use my time. Last night, it was figuring out something to do with a PlayStation controller and Minecraft and something else. And I had a great attitude, right, Ollie? He's hiding his face. He doesn't even want to. I apologized. Look, I don't, this is not how I want to spend my time. If I was going to do this, I would do this. And I just, I've turned into this guy. It's a waste of time. Time is precious. And I get angry. I get resentful. Sometimes I get sad. Yesterday we got to see my grandma, and I was wondering how much time we would have. My grandma is going to be 98. In the last few years, every Christmas could be the last. I mean, she'll say that, and I don't know if we joke about it, maybe. I mean, there's a reality there. We had a great visit with her yesterday, but I wondered, how much time are we going to have to visit? Like right now, do we have to punch a time clock and come in? Is somebody going to come out and usher us out of the wonderful warm confines? It was literally warm in the parking garage of the place where she lives. But at the same token, by the same token, I think we relish the time that we had together. So sometimes I'm resentful and I'm angry because this isn't how I want to spend my time. Another intrusion into my life, like the dogs last night pawing at the door because they wanted to come in and see me, and this guy came out. But sometimes also it's a sadness because this may be the last time. How many Christmases do we have left with Grandma? How many days do we have left? But at my best, because I live by faith and the Spirit of the Holy Spirit is in my heart and clings to Jesus and you too, I can look at the world differently. I can, because I've been and you have been reborn. And suddenly this is how Ollie and Drew and I went through the house last night, right guys? I tried to do this with Andrea, but it didn't. So that everything has changed. Right, that we're no longer a curmudgeonly old bean counter, but one who has been reborn, set free because of Jesus. Now, the thing is, I every day I turn back into Scrooge, and I pray each day, born anew in the Holy Spirit, that I can look at the world like this. Boy, that I get to do this, that I am not judged by all these things that I've got to. Did you do it perfectly? Oh, you left that part out. Looking at other people. Not holding on so tightly through anger and resentment because, well, look, I mean, it's just only a certain amount of time and I gotta make the most of it. Well, there is something to living by faith and living faithfully, not wasting time in some sense, but you know what? All of us do. And to know that Jesus has come, he's come for the guy who is impatient with his family and his dogs. He's come for the woman who wonders, is this all there is to life? Is it just empty and hollow and meaningless? Jesus came to redeem and seek and save all of those time wasters and people who fritter away time, those people who invested a ton of time and stuff. Now, I just wonder if Ebenezer Scrooge had realized at 22 years old what he could do to be born anew or what God would do to set him free. Would he do it differently? And yet that's not how it worked out. But at just the right time, because God wastes nothing, he sends Jesus. The Father sends the Son to seek and save the lost, to set the captives free. The one who is the light who shines in the darkness. The one who put himself into time, into a body, to redeem and save those whose bodies only have a certain amount of time to live. To faith in the end and ultimately and in the middle, and this is what I preached at Dixie Rohde's funeral, is honesty about dependence. See, I can't do it myself. If it's to be, it's not up to me. It's up to Jesus. But knowing that reality, everything changes. The thing is, though, I forget every day. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, and I turn back into this guy. And man, I really have got a dour countenance. But in Christ Jesus, everything changes. And see, Scrooge is alone here, but here there are other people, and he sees them and acknowledges them, and instead of resenting them because they get in the way and mess up his life, now he sees them and says, this is what life is about. I'm pretty sure that Charles Dickens is writing a story here that ultimately is about Jesus. That Ebenezer Scrooge, he's reborn. And that's, yes, metaphorical, but also in a literal sense. As Christians are reborn in Jesus, a quotation from the book, I don't know what to do, Scrooge says. I wish you would read this in your Scrooge voice, but I'll let you take today off. I am as light as a feather. I am as happy as an angel. I am as merry as a schoolboy. I am as giddy as a drunken man. A Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy New Year to all the world. Hello, hello, hello here. Whoop, hello. That was not what I sounded like last night to my dogs and my family. But today, a Merry Christmas to all. That it says Scrooge regarded everyone with a delighted smile. He's born again, born anew. The reality for you and me, because of Jesus, everything has changed. Now, it doesn't change the fact that you and I live in a world where the clock is ticking, and maybe you're wondering what's Colts. Oh, my watch reminds me, 1 o'clock, Colts at Steelers. They use their time wisely. You and I are not full of time, right? We're not a never-ending fountain of time, because if I was full of time, I wouldn't turn into Ebenezer Scrooge at times. But here's the thing, that God, who is outside of time but enters into our world, Jesus Emmanuel, the one who is God with us, the Word made flesh, he comes and he makes our lot, well, he gives us life, he redeems our time, he changes us, and if you remember nothing else, although we may not be full of time, because of Jesus, our time is full of life. See, the difference between Scrooge, the guy who's all by himself and everything is dark and gray, and Scrooge who's holding little tiny Tim on his shoulder. Scrooge who looks around at the world and says, not that everyone is here to make my life miserable and encroach on how I would use my time for myself. But Scrooge, who looks around and says, God has set me free. I am born anew. What a blessing it is to be here on a Sunday morning at 9:07 a.m. if you're keeping track of time. Because of Jesus, our time is full of life. And in the end, although, look, there are questions, God, why did this happen this way? Or this didn't work out the way that I wanted, or I wouldn't have done that in that way. Well, good. Well, repent of that. But hear the good news, that Christ has come to set the captives free. To redeem those people who are time wasters, who are time misusers, who worry all the time. I cannot guarantee you that following Jesus will give you 5 more years in your life. I can't tell you that it's clinically proven. But what I can tell you that is, although we may not be full of time, because of Jesus, our time is full of life. And what does life look like? Well, it looks like Jesus. It looks like living in a world that it, by nature is anything but merciful, shares mercy. Living in a world that is confused and maybe loveless in and of itself, now knows how to love, and it is self-sacrificial. It is knowing that there is joy even in the midst of sorrow and death. It reminds me, as Pam Johnson and Pastor Luke and I were talking about what this sermon might be about a week or two ago, Pam reminded me about some of the conversations that I had had with Barbie Fitzgerald and share with her. And Barbie had asked me, and it was back in November of last year, of 2019. She said, what am I supposed to do? Live like I'm dying? And then whatever the Tim McGraw song was, I knew it was something about ride a bull named Fu Manchu or something like that, or climb a mountain or something. I said, no, die like you're living, because in Christ Jesus you have life. I mean, God knows exactly the span of our days. But we know that in Christ Jesus, we have life eternal. We have a heavenly Father that ultimately we're never cut off from Him. We have a brother in Christ Jesus who holds on to us and never lets go, that everything is changed. And so we rejoice today on this first Sunday after Christmas, or the third day of Christmas. Your true loving Father gave to you Jesus and has redeemed you and set you free. And so although we may not be full of time, because of Jesus, our time is full of life. To Him be the glory. Amen. And now may the peace that passes understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.